Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Father, thank you for worship this morning. Father, as we look at Psalm 91 today, Lord, I pray that we would learn to dwell in God's secret place of protection for our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in a world experiencing riots, COVID, wars, fires in California, hurricanes in Louisiana, we got elections coming up. We're surrounded by sin, evil, corruption, and dangers of every kind. For us in the body of Christ, it's comforting to know that God has promised to protect and walk with us through every single thing that we'll ever face in our life. So today we're going to look at the miraculous power of God to protect us, to save us, and to deliver us. Psalm 37 and verse 19 tells us about God's power. Psalm 91 tells us he'll be a fortress in times of trouble, that he will rescue the godly, that God has the power to save, heal, and deliver. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the days of Christ, he's surely going to be our rock, our fortress, our protector, and our deliverer as well today. We face an enemy, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And we also have a God who's greater than our enemy. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. We're born of God, and God is going to protect us, and he'll bring us to the other side, and he'll actually bring peace to the storms that we walk through. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 91 and verse 1 through 4, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. So that's what we want to learn to do. How can we dwell in the secret place of God? I want to abide, remain, continue, stay fixed and faithful in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. He will deliver me. He will cover me with his pinions. Under his wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and buckler. Psalm 23. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's just not up in heaven. We can dwell in the house of the Lord right now, with the Lord being our refuge and fortress. So how do we make the Lord our refuge and fortress? How do we dwell in that house of the Lord, not just in heaven, but even now? How do we gain protection from hell, from COVID, fear, sin, evil, demons, principalities, the world, the Antichrist, the end times, the wrath of God? I want to be protected from all that stuff. And God is in us, and greater is he that's in us than everything that we're ever going to face. So we can be protected. My job as a pastor is to get as many people as possible to be protected from the wrath of God, which is going to come, from the tribulation, from the great tribulation, that God's saving hand and protection would be upon us. And not only would we be saved, but we can help other people be redeemed from the wrath of God. The Bible is pretty clear in the book of Revelation that you don't want to be around during the end times. And so today, as every day, is hopefully a message of warning, making sure that we are watching and that we are praying and that we are counted worthy to escape the things that are going to come to this earth. So God, he wants to be our shelter and our refuge. He wants to protect us from danger, distress, calamity. He wants to be our protector. We're going to look at some stories in the Bible today, very familiar stories. First one is found in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16 through 22. It talks about Daniel surviving the lion's den. So he refused to obey the law of the land. I didn't say that exactly right, but so he was thrown in the lion's den. And what happened? He was protected. You know, I saw a picture one time, and I know we're not supposed to add to Scripture, but it had a picture of Daniel with his head laying down on one of the lions and sleeping during the middle of the night. So I don't doubt that with Daniel. He had that kind of trust and confidence in God. He was seeing God's protection upon him, and so he was protected. Now, a lot of times we go through this storm. We don't understand life. Job went through the storm. We all go through the storms of life. But even in the midst of the storms, God is with us, amen? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Daniel was supernaturally protected. I put this table there. It'd probably be helped to put some water on it. Would somebody bring me a water? Hello, Andy. There we go. All right, other story. Moses. Moses was protected. All right, so what happened? Pharaoh was killing all the kids. Moses' parents disobeyed the king's edict. They hid Moses for 3 months. Then they put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River. And then what, he's raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Do I get the story right? So God has protection and provision for us in the midst of the storm. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. This world is not our home. Amen. Are we looking forward to heaven someday when there's no more sin, death, hell, sickness, and all that different stuff? We're going to be protected for all eternity, but actually we're already protected now because we already have eternal life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, sorry, we're not bowing to these false gods. They threw them in the fiery furnace, and what? They looked in there, and what was in there? There's a fourth person in there. Guess what? God's with you no matter what you go through. He's in the fiery furnace. Isaiah 43, you walk through the waters, you're not going to be drowned. You walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. Amen? Fear thou not, for what? I am with thee. Be not dismayed. People are living in fear today. That is not what God wants us to live in. Amen? We're going to keep living our lives. We're going to have wisdom and caution, but God doesn't want us to be controlled by fear. Perfect love casts out fear. We're not dominated and controlled by fear. Amen? I'm with thee. Be not say, I'm thy God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand, my right hand. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Any tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be proved to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, their righteousness, their vindication, their justification of me. Thus says the Lord, amen. The Lord is our rock, our fortress, our protector, and our deliverer, and he's walking through us just like he showed up in the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a story about John G. Lake, all right? I think it's in the early 1900s. I'm not even going to look at this story. I'd rather, otherwise it's long if I read the stories. You'd rather like the shortened version, right? You can say amen to that. So the bubonic plague was going on in Africa at this time. John G. Lake is a minister. He's a missionary, and he goes over there. And many aid workers were getting sick, and even many were dying. And so they couldn't figure out why it did not affect John G. Lake and those that were with him. So he said, well, let's do a little experiment. So they took the bubonic plague, and, you know, I didn't know it fully, but if you got it on you, there's a good chance that you're going to die. So he says, well, just go ahead and take that and put it on me. Put my hand underneath the microscope and see what happens. Okay, now I'm not recommending this, all right? All right? We don't understand a lot of stuff that happens in the Bible, but God supernaturally showed up and protected John G. Lake. Underneath the microscope, all of those things immediately died. Well, I want to believe, and we don't understand it all, but I want to believe that Romans 8:11, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within me, and he's going to quicken my mortal body by that Holy Spirit. God wanted John G. Lake to be able to be doing some mission work over in Africa, and he supernaturally protected him. You know, my brother was a missionary for 25 years in the Philippines. As soon as they clear for him to go overseas again, January, February, his family's going to be back on the mission field again. All right? But, you know, he just kept serving the Lord even when bad things were happening. Some thief, you know, if you're American, they think you have money, so some thieves broke into their house. And, you know, Peter was fearful for his kids' lives. He didn't know if they got to his kids. So he ran and took on, you know, the person that broke into their house. So the guy stabbed him in his chest. Okay? Well, Peter survived that, and, you know, Peter's so good, he went to the jail and ministered to him and made sure the guy got saved, amen? That's a good thing, amen? So God can redeem stuff, amen? So, I'm you know, Peter, whatever. Nah, I'm sorry, I better not say this on the sermon. All right, you don't stop him. 2 weeks later, he's traveling, whatever, to some barrio by bus, and the bus goes off the cliff, and the cliff, whatever, the bus goes up again. You know, thank God it stopped by the trees, all right? But he goes through the front of the windshield in the bus. How's that? Maybe the Lord's trying to tell you maybe to stay home. Not with Peter, amen? Can you imagine? He gets stabbed, and 2 weeks later, he's on a bus going to the barrios. The knife didn't go in that far, so he figures, I'm all right, all right? But then he went through the windshield of a bus, and, you know, looking down. I think we were on that road one time when I was over there with Pete in the Philippines. We just seen that. You know what? God didn't promise that we weren't going to have difficulties in this life and go through all kinds of storms. But you know what God wants us to do? Just keep on keeping on, amen? You know, and that was basically Peter's attitude, whatever. So this is an amazing story with John G. Lake. He protected him. And I want to look to the Lord for protection in my life as well, amen? I want to be saved from the wrath of God to come. I want to be saved from the tribulation. I want to be saved from all the stuff that's going to happen in the end days. And I'm going to keep warning you because that's my job as a pastor. If you think the COVID is bad, read the book of Revelation. At one single time where 7 billion people on the earth, 1/4 of the world is going to get killed off just like that. Okay, this is the Bible. I am trying to scare you today, all right? Get right with God and don't play church. I'm preaching to the choir. But there's a whole lot of people that are not prepared for the end days. They're not ready for the rapture. They're not ready for the second coming. And they haven't done anything to make sure that they're right with God. Amen? Another time, I'm not sure if I got the right stats right. One time, 1/4 of the world's dying off. Another time, 1/3 of the world is dying off. Okay? I want to make sure, and I think I'm preaching to the choir here, but that we're all safe with God, amen? We're learning how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and we're ready for the rapture. We're ready for the second coming. We're not playing church. We're not lukewarm. We're fervent and hot, zealous for the things of God and the will of God in our life, amen? And if you're right with God, you're automatically protected. Even if you leave this life, whatever, you're protected because you're going to spend all of eternity with God up in heaven. Amen? You have to read the notes. You know, there's a lot of them, and I'm just going to give you another quick version of this. Is Sergeant Alvin York. Has anybody watched the movie about Sergeant York? Okay, the movie doesn't show you, you know, they're never going to show you how it really happened. Here's a person that... I think his dad was an alcoholic. He had bad behavior. He went to Sunday school and a revival meeting. He gets saved. He gets born again. He becomes an elder, becomes involved in the church. God changes him, and then World War I breaks out. Do I got the right story here? You guys with me here? All right? So he's from Tennessee. In Tennessee, they know how to shoot a gun. Amen? All right? So they're walking up this valley, and they got to overtake this certain area. It was taking on the Germans. Well, the Germans were all set in all of these places with machine guns ready to take them all out. So they took shot many of them, killed many of them. And Sergeant York was ordered with his battalion or a group of men to circle around and take out these machine guns. Well, this guy was an amazing marksman. He said, I don't think God let me miss one time, whatever. And he just kept taking all these machine gun guys out one after one after one after one. Even one of the guys that they captured, I think they captured like 132 Germans, they actually knew that they weren't going to overcome this guy, and they actually surrendered, all right? They got the machine guns, and he's got the gun, and they're surrendering to him. Pretty good story, amen? The movie and the book probably aren't going to tell you the full story, but if you can find the true story of how God supernaturally protected him. One of the Germans, whatever they were captured, he must have still had his pistol. He unloaded his pistol on Sergeant York, and nothing happened. All right, missed them every shot, whatever, you know. Elward, you've shared stories of how God has woke you and Carol up in the middle of the night to pray for Paul. And what was that? Was that your sister's husband that was in one of the wars and God woke you up and to pray for him supernaturally? Am I getting the stories close to right? All right, just God, it will speak to us to pray, and that brings supernatural intervention in our behalf. So that's the story of Sergeant York. Let me see if I can find how many people it was. You guys have your notes in front of you. I think it was 132 Germans that they captured. It was prisoners back to the American lines. So they captured the Deccanville Railroad. This was a strategic place for the Germans, and it was a battlefield that needed to take this land so that they could further win the war. So turn in your Bibles, if you don't already have them open, to Psalm 91. It says in verse 8, you'll look to the Lord, and you'll see the recompense of the wicked. You've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High your refuge. I want to be so close to Jesus that I'm going to learn to be, God's going to be my refuge, amen? No evil will befall me. I'm not going to give in to the world, sin, antichrist, principalities, or anything. I'm going to be protected from all of that. No plague will come near your tent. He will command his angels concern you to guard you up in all their ways. Because you hold fast to the Lord and love him, he will deliver you. Because you know his name, you will call upon the Lord and he will answer. Remember when I shared Proverbs chapter 1? There's coming a day in these end days because people have not put God first in their life and hid the word of God. It says calamity is going to laugh at them. The world is laughing at Christianity right now, all right, as far as different things. They think, what are you doing, all right? Well, when they call in the end days, they're going to call for protection. And it says wisdom is going to laugh at you because you did not make wisdom the word of God and Jesus the center of your lives. And my job is to warn you, and my job is to make sure you're ready. And I believe everybody here is going to be ready. And all God's people said, so he's going to answer us. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue him, and I will honor him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. The word fear is worship. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that worship. You want to release the angels, the Holy Spirit, and the protection, the provision of God, be a worshiper, amen? Matthew chapter 4, the devil wanted to overcome Jesus. He went in the wilderness, and the devil brought three temptations, and Jesus overcame every one of the temptations and did the will of God, and that's what God wants us to do in our lives. This storm is still going to be a part of your life. Mark chapter 4, Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. What do you mean, get in the boat? There's going to be a storm and we're almost going to die. Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. And you know what? If God's in your life, you're automatically going to the other side. Amen? The people are at the other side, and as much as they love you, they're not wanting to come back. Do you understand? And God said, because he's in our life, we're going to the other side. Does that mean that the storm is not going to be there? No, Jesus knew exactly that the storm was going to come. One of the times, I think, Jesus was sleeping in the midst of the storm. You don't have to worry. You know what? God's got this election thing all under control, amen? He's got your life under control. It doesn't look like it, but he's got America, amen? He's wanting America to turn back to God. You got a whole half of America that wants to remove God out of the picture. Well, that's why we're in the trouble we are in. Are you with me? Amen? We need to come back to God. And as a church and as a people at Crossroads, we're going to be fervent for the things of God. We're going to be right with the Lord. We're going to be ready for the rapture. We're going to be ready for the Lord's coming. We're going to be part of the five virgins that have made themselves ready. They've trimmed their lamps. They're full of the Holy Spirit. As Pastor Steve said, you're walking in the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You're doing the things of God. You're walking in obedience to God. Well, that's the place of protection in the Lord. Amen? Another person that was protected, Rahab. So God can redeem the prostitute. Amen? You know, they were afraid of Israel because they were surrounded Jericho, and they had heard what God had done for Israel and Rahab. All those people, all those stories were going around. Well, two spies, come in to check out, Jericho, and Rahab hides them from the people of Jericho. And because she did that, they made a covenant with those that her and her family is going to be spared. So when they destroyed Jericho, she and her family didn't get destroyed, amen? She was protected. God has a supernatural plan to save us from sin, from death, the hell, and the grave, the wrath of God, the tribulation, and all that stuff. And we want to be hid in the Lord, and we want to be ready. Amen? God is so good. A lot of my notes are not original. This is from gotquestions.org. Psalms of David are filled with praise for God as he protected his chosen people. And I just quoted a whole bunch of those verses. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, I give you authority and power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen? Are these promises of God for us? Do we have to wait for the heaven or the millennium for these things? No, these are promises of God that I want to look to in the here and now. Amen? If God be for me, Nobody can successfully be against me. What can separate me from the love of God? Hopefully, if you stay in Jesus in that refuge, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen? Let's do John 15. Let's abide, remain, and live in a close, sweet relationship with God. So wherever we go, he's with us. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Amen? He will be our refuge against everything that comes against us. Let me share about one or more, two more stories, and I'm going to wrap this up. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training the young braves. I think they were about 13 years old when this would happen. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, and all the things, he was put to a final test. And this was a rite of passage to manhood. So this little boy is placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Can you imagine a 13-year-old kid in the middle of the forest? Never been away from the tribe or his family before. On this night, he's blindfolded, taken way several miles into the woods. In the middle of the thick woods, he's terrified. Can you imagine every twig that you hear snap? Are you wondering what that is? So he visualized wild animals ready to pounce on him and kill him. Well, finally, what it seemed like all of eternity, the dawn comes. You guys know the story, don't you? All right? So he sees the sun, takes off whatever, the thing, the blinders off, and here just standing a few feet away from his what? His dad, okay, with a bow and an arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long, and guess what? God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? He's going to prepare us for the end times. Amen? And he's with us. He's going to protect us. If you read your notes, I'm not going to share this one right now, but this is a great missionary story of a girl, whatever, that was being attacked by an anaconda, and how God just supernaturally, this will make you go and look at your notes maybe, all right? All right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. He said, what do you got to do? Take the shield of faith where you can extinguish all of the fiery darts of the evil one. God wants to bring you victorious through every single thing that you face in life. One last passage of scripture and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those that were disobedient. So it's not a good time to be disobedient. It's not a time to be lukewarm. It's not a time to be playing church. It's probably a really, really good time to be right with the Lord and serious with the Lord. You guys okay with your preacher saying that? He said he's going to send the prophet to prepare people for the end days. The prophet would always speak a word of warning to the people. Verse 32, what time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of the lion, they quenched the power of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, they were made strong out of weakness, and they became mighty in battle and put armies to flight. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And even guess what? Even if the Lord didn't deliver you from something, what were going to be like? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If it be so, if you throw us in the fire, if we don't get delivered, I just want to let you know ahead of time that we're not bowing down to your God. Our God is God. Amen. And he is able, but we just want to let you know that God's God and we're not changing our mind. We're not bowing down to government or the false gods or all this other things. Amen. He is with us always. I love that song. A mighty fortress is our God. Amen. He is our refuge, our fortress, our protector, and our deliverer. Let's come into his presence. Let's receive grace and help and strength in time of need. I love watching war movies. This one is about Desmond Doss. Did I get that right? Did I get the name right? So he's over in Okinawa, did I say that right? All right, Hacksaw Ridge. You guys remember the story? All right, so he's doesn't have a gun. He's just a medic. And they're up there and they're just, you know, people are being killed left after right. Well, they get down off Hacksaw Ridge, but he stayed up on the top there. And all through the night, he rescued person after person after person after person. He rescued 75 people. So this message today, I believe that you're all going to be rescued. I believe that you're all right with God and you're safe in the arms of God and the Lord is your refuge. But let's be like Desmond Doss. I don't want to just get to heaven. I want to bring as many people as possible with me, amen? Do you guys remember the story? D.L. Moody, preachers can throw in extra stories, amen? The Great Chicago Fire, he survived the fire. He's in Lake Michigan. He's hysterically crying and like, what are you doing crying? You were saved. You were saved from the Great Chicago Fire. Yeah, I was, but I didn't bring anybody with me. Who are you going to bring with you? You're going to escape the Great Tribulation. You're going to be part of the rapture. But you know what? The most of the world is not ready for the Lord's coming. They're not ready for the rapture. They're still thinking that they can play with the world and be right with God and survive the end times. The Bible promises you that's not the place to be, amen? The place to be is in God. So Desmond Doss not only was saved and protected himself, but he saved 75 other people. How about each and every one of us make sure that we bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can abide and remain in a relationship with Jesus and they can be protected from the wrath to come. They can be protected from the tribulation, the great tribulation, and they can stand in the house of glory, dwell in the house of the Lord, not just today, but every day and forever. Amen. Jenny's going to come up and lead us in a song here of worship. Let's reflect on what we learned from this message today of how we can allow the Lord to be our refuge and then how we can help other people know Jesus Christ as their refuge. Thank you, Lord Jesus.